Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. We're faced with about 35 million decisions every single day. Every single day, we are asked to make decisions on issues and questions, big and small, but so many when it comes to our personal finances. And frankly, as humans, we're not very good at doing that very often. And a part of this really dates back to, I don't know, the Paleozoic era when our brains began to form. And there are some real inefficiencies in how we think and behave and make decisions that we're going to take some time highlighting today. Our guest is money expert Jessica Morehouse. She's here to talk about some of the financial behaviors and a nod to behavioral economics and how we can optimize our own effectiveness when it comes to our money. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. It's been a long time since we spoke.
I know.
I referenced Paleozoic times. Basically,
it wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. But tell us a bit more about what we know about where these behaviors come mm-hmm. from, or these biases come from.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people don't realize, and once you start noticing it, you can notice it in everything that you do, but we all have certain behaviors or instincts, these impulses almost, to do a certain thing. And these behaviors were developed, yeah, in long ago times, Neanderthal times, the Stone Ages, and they were meant to help us survive because it was a lot more dangerous to live back then. And pretty much we were very easy to kill back then. And so we had to evolve and develop these behaviors to sense danger because it was pretty much everywhere. And unfortunately, even though now in 2023, we are much more evolved, we still have some of these behaviors. And instead of helping us survive, sometimes they do, sometimes we want those behaviors, but often they are actually leading us astray. They're leading us to make really bad decisions when it comes to lots of different parts of our lives. I know, we can totally attribute these to, you know, your love life or friendships or your career, but also finances. And until you really recognize what's going on, you're just going to keep on repeating patterns.
I want to start with loss aversion. And I know this as something that people talk about as it relates to investing. Like you mm-hmm. bought this stock and even though it's dropped 90% in value, you hold on to it with this deluded fantasy that one day it's going to rebound. What are some other areas in which people might find resonance in that idea of loss aversion?
Yeah, so loss aversion is really interesting because when you think about it, it's pretty simple. But again, why do we keep on repeating these patterns that are hurting us? You mentioned the really common example of, you know, say investing in a stock and then you see it go down. And what do? You panic because you don't want to lose more of your money. And so you sell it at a loss. Whereas if you maybe just kept it and maybe it would rebound or even gain, you'd actually be better off for it. So why are we doing these things now? You know, for some different examples, I think I just saw online that there's some big sale on some big website that I will not name of that always has a big sale. And it's the idea of like, I don't want to lose my chance, kind of that FOMO a little bit. And so, you know, you're like, if I don't spend money, I'm going to lose money. And so there's a lot of things that are marketed to us in a way that if you don't take advantage now, you're going to regret it. You're going to lose something. And we, you know, loss aversion really is based on the fact that we want to survive more than thrive. Even though we think about, oh yeah, of course we want to thrive. No, we want to survive first and we will sacrifice thriving. So holding on to that stock so it could grow and help us retire one day, we would much rather do something safe. We're seeing a lot of this right now with high interest rates. People are selling off their investments, getting into GICs. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess, in the short term, but long term, that is a terrible idea. But people are afraid of losing everything. And so they're making decisions based off that fear.
It's like the call now, don't wait. The infomercials of the 80s that manifest very clearly in the social media age too. I want to ask you about herd mentality. There, yeah. I'm sure, are many ways in which herd mentality saves us because someone in the herd saw a yeah. wolf. And we're exactly. now all running from that very clear and present danger, the wolf, but mm-hmm. sometimes there is not a wolf at the door.
No, I mean, this is a behavior that it's good that we still have it for certain things like survival. I mean, if you are in a situation where you're in a war zone and you see a bunch of people running, it's probably because there's danger. Maybe there's some bombs or something like that. Or I've even seen some things online where people think that there's danger. And, you know, they see a couple of people running and then everyone gets up and they run and then they find out, oh, no, it's a running group or something like that. So that's not really helpful. But in certain circumstances, it can save your life. But when it comes to your money, again, you're following the crowd, but you're maybe not taking that time to be like, wait, why are they running? Where are they running to? Maybe I should do some more, you know, thoughtful analysis. And so herd mentality, we saw a lot of this going on. I want to say specifically 2020, 2022, when people were really into the meme stock situation, cryptocurrency, NFTs. I mean, no one is talking about NFTs, but for a while, I almost felt like, is this the future? Because everyone's talking about it. And so you don't want to be the last person, you don't want to be that person who doesn't, progress with everybody. You want to make sure that we're keeping up with each other, because that is, again, how you survive. But again, if you just follow the herd and don't take a minute to kind of regulate your emotions and take some time to think about what's actually going on here, you were going to buy an NFT for $10,000 that's worth $0 now, you know? Mm. And we don't want to be in that situation. And so that's something that you have to be very focused on. That's something that really comes with time. Like even for me, I know all this stuff. And when all that was happening, I even felt this like inertia that I should do something. Or like one example too is, you know, when Taylor Swift was doing some tickets on sale in Toronto, I'm like, should I buy tickets? Everyone's talking about it. I don't want to be left out. And I'm like, I haven't actually listened to her music in years, but I felt like I had to keep up with my peers.
Confirmation bias is the third. Mm. And, you know, I think most of us love to be right. Like we just love to be right. And this can get us into trouble.
Yeah. I mean, again, we saw a lot of this in the past couple of years with the chaos that was COVID and the U.S. politics, all the elections that were happening in the U.S. and Canada, and people like information that confirms what they already believe and they know. And so, I mean, I remember seeing a lot of conversations, you know, online, on Reddit, especially about, you know, like COVID and vaccines, like, is it good? Is it bad? And people would find all this evidence to be like, no, this is why the vaccine is going to help us. And so many people would find just as much information to say the opposite. And so it's not like they were actually like having a conversation to be like, maybe I should consider a different point of view. We're just going to double down and look for stuff that already confirms what we believe because it makes us feel good. You know what doesn't feel good is someone saying that you're wrong. You don't want to be wrong. You want to be right. So you're going to find evidence to prove that you were right, even if it's digging yourself into a deeper and deeper hole that you cannot get out of later.
So we have a theoretical understanding of these three biases or financial behaviors that date back forever.
Yeah.
What do you do about it? Like, what do you put them on post-it notes on your phone before you buy something on Etsy? How do you make it useful? How do you make this wisdom, this insight useful?
Yeah, well, I'd say I'd almost want to bring up another bias to answer that question, which is called status quo bias. It is the feeling that we are so resistant to change or doing something different, doing something new. And so, you know, I've done a lot of research for my book about this. This is going to be part of a chapter I'm working on. And what's so funny is like trying to find the solutions to these biases. It's very simple, but it's kind of like almost anything in personal finance. You probably know this. It's like it's not that hard to budget, to pay off debt, you know, to actually understand the strategies out there, the practical how to's. It's actually doing it. And with status quo bias, we're so resistant to anything new because, again, back in the day, anything new could be a potential danger or hazard. And I see that with a lot of just in the financial sphere. There's a lot of, you know, new fintech, a lot of new innovation in the field. And we are and people are still afraid. I mean, my mother-in-law still does checks. She doesn't do online banking. And she's not that old, you know? She's in her 60s. That is too young to be afraid of the internet. Or, you know, I see this even with young people afraid to try different apps, you know, as one example, actually, I was helping my husband, he was trying to figure out a way for his business. He'd been doing the same thing for a long time, as we all do. And he, you know, works with clients internationally. He's a, you know, works with musicians. He's trying to figure out how to get paid, how not to pay a lot of money in fees, you know, with like a PayPal or whatever. And it took a while for us to find something. We found this app called Wise that makes it really easy to kind of transfer money internationally, low fees, all that kind of stuff. And now he's using it and he's loving it. But it was hard for him to actually like, it took him a while. I'm like, I made an account. I tested it out. I had all this evidence to prove like, hey, you should try. It took him a while to like months to open an account and try it himself because he was so afraid of something new and different. Even though like when you look at it, it's like, it's not that crazy complicated. It's right. Not really a new concept. It's just a new product, a new service. It's, you know, but we are just terrified of making a mistake. And so we're more comfortable sticking with what we know, even though we could be losing out on, you know, potential investment gains. We could be paying more in fees if we're sticking with a certain product instead of like, oh, or you could do that. Like, I saw a lot of that with, you know, investing. People still like their high fee mutual funds. And you're like, but you know, there's other options out there.
Right.
Same thing, lower fees. You could be spending, you know, or saving rather thousands of dollars a year just by switching to a different product. But people are just like, I can't do it.
Well, we have provided them with a prompt and some insight and a nudge.
Yeah.
I think we've nudged them. Jessica, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jessica Morehouse is a money expert, podcast host, knower of all things, and she's working on a new book coming out sometime in, I don't know, 2025 or something.
2025. Hi, it's me, your dad. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.